They haven't done the taste test, so suck it. We just got through singing Auld Lang Syne, and we're a little jacked up on champagne, but we're going to talk about coffee today, because that's what we do, it's what we love doing, and specifically, we are going to talk about faux pas, coffee faux pas. So you're a coffee geek, let's say, hypothetically, you're a coffee geek, because if you're listening to this, you probably are, and you want to make pretty good coffee. And a lot of us, I mean, let's be honest, takes a lot of learning to make good coffee. Like, there's a lot of variables at play, there's a lot of science, and a tiny little bit of art involved, where art really is just understanding and implementing science. So if you understand the science, you're going to be good. But there are some misconceptions we might have through pop culture or just through heritage that can throw off our ability to make good coffee. We're at a local roaster. We pick up this bag that seems like it's going to be pretty dope. Roast date is fresh, but we can fall into all sorts of pitfalls before we get that sucker brewed and we're drinking that amazing cup of coffee. So Christian's going to be our running back today. I'm going to use a football analogy because we are in Packer land, and even the most nerdy of us enjoy a good game of football in this region. So I'm going to hand these off to Christian, and he will show us how to fumble and then how to not fumble. So I am a patron of a coffee shop, and I have a run-of-the-mill blade grinder at home. And I'm all about that blade grinder because I'm into grinding my coffee fresh. And a blade grinder is where you pour your coffee into the grinder, and it's one of those things that has a lid. You put the lid on it, you hit the button, and this little blade, which is most of the time visible, spins and grinds your coffee. That's what I mean by blade grinder. I use that to grind my coffee fresh every morning before I brew it. I pick up my coffee and I go home, and I'm feeling pretty good about that. And I hand the ball off to Christian.
Yeah, this one is a tough one because you do lose a lot of aromatics when you grind your coffee ahead of time. Approximately 50% of all aromatics in the cup will go away. However, if your grind size isn't right, that coffee's not going to taste very good because you're going to have too many fines in there, and it's going to over-extract, and you're going to have a really bitter cup of coffee. So I think where we come down is that it's probably better to get your coffee ground at the coffee shop on the proper setting, keep it in an airtight bag, and then take it as you go, as opposed to using a blade grinder that gives you the wrong size of coffee. And from personal experience, I can tell you that I, as a coffee professional who makes some pretty amazing coffee here at the Stone Creek Coffee Factory.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. I have a hand grinder at home, which the burrs have worn on a little bit, so it's even a step up from a blade grinder. And I've made some pretty bad coffee over the past 6 months, and it's because that grinder just is not grinding my coffee the way that I need it to be ground to make great coffee at home. So I would almost err on the side of letting it go a little stale, but if it's the right grind size, you should be able to make fantastic coffee for, I'd say, probably a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks might be a stretch, but I think up to a week and even 2 weeks, you're going to be okay. And I will play Chris Collinsworth and pitch in a little bit here. I also had a grinder that was old. It was a Cuisinart burr grinder that I had for quite a while. And the variance between coarse and fine particles in my coffee grind every morning was crazy. And I'm pretty meticulous about how I brew my coffee in terms of water temperature, water quality, dose size. And then I used this grind. I ground my coffee fresh, and it was still dull and boring and a little bitter. And it's just like, come on, this isn't what I'm having at work every day. And then I upgraded my grinder, and the quality just goes through the roof. Because you're talking about evenness of extraction. You're talking about pulling the best out of the coffee through the right water quality, through the right brew time, through the right brew method, through the right grind size. And if you screw that up, you start pulling really bad things out of the super finely ground coffee, and you're not pulling all the good stuff out of the coarse coffee. So you're just setting yourself up for a world of failure Whereas if you're at a coffee shop and they grind it perfectly for you, you can stand to give up a little bit of aromatics in favor of the better cup. Just make sure you don't keep that ground coffee for a really, really long time. So it's second down. Christian helped us at least hold on to possession. And it comes to coffee storage. So you get the coffee home. What do you do to try and keep it playing ball?
I will say that there's some really bad information out in the market right now.
It's pretty bad.
And I'm looking at the Red Can website.
And by that, you mean Folgers?
Folgers, yes.
Cool.
One of the biggest coffee roasters in the world, I would say. At least the United States, if not the world. So Folgers ground coffee can be kept for up to a month in the refrigerator. And this screams coffee science craziness. Hypothetically, if you put something in a colder environment, it should slow down the chemical reactions that are going on. And if you took your coffee and you put it into a perfectly sealed vac seal bag and sucked out all the air, you could hypothetically extend the life of that roasted coffee. But I have not met a person who is that dedicated to their coffee in the morning and that dedicated to pull their coffee out of the freezer, grind it, and then put it back at 5 o'clock in the morning. It just doesn't happen. So what happens is when you put that coffee into the refrigerator, or even worse,
the freezer,
you close that lid and there's a little bit of air that gets in there. And as you're using more coffee, there's even more air inside of it. And inside of that air, there's a little bit of water vapor, and that water vapor condenses, gets into the coffee, and causes it to stale. And I guarantee within a week that coffee does not taste the same. In the refrigerator, if that seal is not airtight as well, you're going to start to pick up lots of aromatics from the refrigerator, like cut onions, whatever you left rotting in the back of the refrigerator.
That was a thing.
Yep. I have something marinating right now. It's no good. You do a big disservice by not storing your coffee in the right location. And ideally, you would be storing your coffee in an airtight container. It could be on a one-way valve bag, and put it in the back of your cabinet. Room temperature, no sunlight, just reduce your amount of variables and keep it stable. You should extend the life of that coffee probably out. I would say I have some pretty good coffee at 3 weeks if I do that way.
Yeah, and even up to a month. If you get fresh from your roaster. And I will be clear, even coming off of the first fumble, we do recommend not pre-grinding your coffee, but getting a grinder that grinds at a consistent particle size. Because particle size, I think, is more important than coffee freshness up to about 3 weeks. But if you can get perfect particle size at optimal freshness, you're better off. One other thing the freezer can screw you up with is you pull it out the freezer, you put it in the brewer, and then you go, and you've thrown off your entire temperature control. So optimal brewing takes place at?
195 to 205 degrees Fahrenheit.
Says the director of coffee. And then if you start with a ground coffee product that has a temperature of sub 30 degrees, that initial batch of water you put on the coffee, which is supposed to open it up, is going to be really brought down, and your initial bloom of the coffee grounds or initial period of extraction is going to be thrown completely cattywampus, because that's going to kind of come together to make 80 degrees or so and not be great.
You just blew my mind. That's a great little tidbit, and I kind of want to go try it at home.
See what happens.
But I'm for sure that would totally change the way the coffee extracts, because that coffee's a lot colder.
Yeah,
it's probably tighter
that,
together. And I've actually noticed the same thing with green coffee. We had a coffee delivered one time when it was sub-zero outside, and I threw it into the roaster, and it just didn't follow curves. It was way too cold.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yep. So don't put your coffee in the freezer. Don't put it in the refrigerator or refrigerator, depending on whether or not you refrigerated it in the first place. So that was second down. I'm going to assume you've held onto the ball these first two downs. It's third and three. Now you've got to pick your brew method. And if you're a coffee geek, I'm going to say you probably have three coffee brewers at home. You have a manual brewing method you picked up at maybe, say, Stone Creek Coffee. You have the drip maker that you've gotten since college. It's just about what you were running on. And then maybe when you got married, you got a Keurig because it was something you felt like you should register for. Christian, I hand the ball off.
Yeah, this one is a tough one too. And if you listen to previous episodes, we talked about coffee shops and how convenience is the number one or one of the number one factors of why people go to a certain place. And a K-Cup is certainly a convenient way to get your morning coffee. All you do is you pop it in, you press a button, you get a coffee. But if you listen back to our episode, we talked about ideal brewing methods and manual brewing. I do recommend you go back to it. Go back to episode 5 and 6 of the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast and learn a little bit more about how to brew coffee well. What you will learn is you cannot brew 3 different sizes of coffees with the same amount of grounds. And the first thing that I realized when I had Keurig coffee for the first time, or even any kind of pod coffee, is that you have the option to choose a 6-ounce, an 8-ounce, 12-ounce, I can't remember if it's like an 8-ounce or 12-ounce.
Small cup, big cup.
With the same amount of coffee. It just doesn't work like that. And you need time for that water to pull things out. And so you can probably get a mediocre cup of coffee off of an 8-ounce K-Cup machine. But if you try to get a 12-ounce, you're going to get even more bitter. And a 16-ounce, you're going to get even more bitter than that. Mm. And so the machine isn't structured well enough for me to really believe that you can get ideal coffee out of it. K-Cups are not great brewing science yet. Maybe someday they'll invent like a quasi-espresso machine where they use pressure to force more like things out of the coffee. And that's what an espresso machine does. It actually uses pressure to force more undissolved solids out. There's no filter, so that's why that happens. Details. But you also don't want a coffee machine that can also brew your cider and your chai and your hot chocolate. That just seems like danger zone to me.
And not just to hate on Keurig, because they've been kind of a unique aspect in the coffee industry, but if you want great coffee, it's really the enemy of great coffee. If you want convenient coffee, have fun. You know, go to town. So you've gotten your coffee home, you've stored it right, you've got your right grind particle, you've decided against using the Keurig, so you've made it to fourth down, it's 4th and 1, and you either extend your drive to enjoy that great cup of coffee, or you're going to turn over on downs. And that really rests in, after you brewed the coffee, what happens? What do you do with it? How do you enjoy it? How quickly do you enjoy it? How do you preserve it?
If you want to get your next down, I would suggest drinking that coffee when it's warm, or drinking it as it cools. One of the things I see happening a lot is that people have these things called hot plates built into their brewers, and they let their coffee sit on it for all day. And as we were talking about this episode, Drew mentioned it's like having mac and cheese that's in the oven for way too long. So, like, if you get the mac and cheese, you pull it out, it's still a little al dente, like, it's just perfect. And then after it's al dente, it just starts to break apart. It ends up
crispy. The noodles get hard on the edges.
The noodles get hard on the edges, and they get mushy in the middle, and all the flavors start to just muddle together until you have, like, this mac and cheese smoothie. And so when you leave your coffee on the hot plate for 4 hours, I want you to think a nasty mac and cheese smoothie. Because what you're doing is you're taking those coffee particles that you worked so hard to brew well, you brought out all those aromatics, and you're just leaving them there cook. And you're breaking down the sugars again, you're changing the structure, you're making it turn even more bitter, and it just doesn't taste the same. Good coffee should probably taste good if you brewed it well through the cooling process. It'll stay sweet. It might not be warm, but it'll taste good. But you leave it on that hot plate, I can almost guarantee that coffee's not going to taste as good as it did when you first brewed it. So my recommendation to not fumble there would be to have a heat-proof carafe of some sort, or brew only as much coffee as you can drink in one sitting or for a couple people, and keep it in a nice warm ceramic cup. Preheat your cups.
What if I'm on my way to work? I just brewed a 32-ounce Chemex because I want coffee for the next 6 hours. I'm not brewing it on a hot plate. What can I do to keep it? And I like coffee hot because a lot of people be like, give me my coffee hot. I don't like it when it gets cold. How do I keep it hot?
Probably the best option would be to get an insulated travel mug. Stainless steel insulated travel mug. You preheat that with some water. It will stay at 130, 140 for probably 4 hours and probably stay in the hundreds, 6-8 hours. We've done some testing on them, and like they really do retain their heat. So you can get your quick cup in the morning and then leave that on your desk. You'll still have a nice warm cup of coffee in the afternoon.
Be advised that with even the use of thermoses and of things of thermal nature, that if you try and preserve coffee at a high temperature for very long, the flavor compounds are super delicate that you will actually start to get a bitter off-tasting cup even after a couple hours just because the flavor compounds break down. So interesting sort of study to do, and I recommend it, is to brew coffee fresh, put it in a thermos for 2 hours, and then brew coffee fresh again and taste the fresh coffee next to the coffee you've had in a thermal container for 2 hours. And you will notice that the first cup of coffee is a lot sweeter, the acidity is more vibrant, whereas the coffee you brewed earlier is going to get a little bit more dull, and it's going to start to get a little bit medicinal. Still good, like keeping coffee hot instead of reheating it or introducing additional heat to it is definitely the way to go if you like your coffee hot. But you just can't beat brewing something and drinking it fresh.
And this is why we at Stone Creek Coffee have timers on our COD.
Yeah, and if you've ever been in a cafe and you've heard a really obnoxious beep, it's actually a good thing.
Yeah, it lets us know that our coffee is turning bad and we brew fresh batch because we don't want to be serving bitter old coffee. So don't serve yourself bitter old coffee at home. Or if you do, just know that you're doing it.
Let's be honest. If you like bitter coffee, some people just like that. All right, more power to you. If you want to reheat your coffee instead of rebrewing it because you need it conveniently, you need it fast, I mean, who are we? So, I mean, do what you're going to do. Fourth and one came and went. You decided you were going to brew your coffee right, but then something came in and happened and you weren't able to drink it. So penalties offset. It's fourth and one again, but you can't rebrew your coffee. You have this coffee that's sitting there getting cold. What's a hack to deal with this coffee that's gone and got cold on you? Couldn't enjoy it at its optimal temperature.
Call an audible and put that coffee in the fridge. Cool it down, and you get yourself some nice iced coffee. Just get that temperature down quicker, I would say. Put it in a sealed container. Make sure it doesn't oxidize any further than it has to. And just, you know, put some ice in it and you have a nice refreshing iced coffee instead of a hot coffee. Not ideal, but sometimes you have to make the best of your situation and you might be able to make it work.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times that's way better than just throwing out something you put time into, especially if you're an iced coffee / cold brew junkie. Like Christian, I recommend putting it in the fridge instead of putting ice in it right away because you haven't brewed it at a strong brew ratio. So if you put ice in it when it's at room temperature, it's going to get really watery. It's not going to be very strong. But if you lower the temperature before you introduce ice, the ice is just going to help keep it cold and won't water it down too much. If you're doing cold brew and you brew at a really high total dissolved solid level, then you can get away with introducing ice to a 50 or 60 degree beverage without it watering down too much.
So again, listen to episode 5 and 6 about brewing coffee well at home. Although I'll put a little asterisk next to that. If you want to brew something that you're going to ice, raise your coffee ratio. So add more coffee to your brew vessel. You'll get a higher TDS, total dissolved solid, and then you can add ice to bring it back down to a normal brew level.
And if you're looking for more information on cold brew coffee, you can check out the second episode we ever did where we talk about kind of the myths around cold brew and we give a recipe there for using the Mitsudashi cold brewer, and then Christian even gives an iced coffee recipe as well. Any questions you have / requests for recipes, you can direct to us, because if we haven't tried it before, we will try it and we will tell you what we come up with. Get you the information you need to brew that coffee you want at home. So congratulations, you've made it to a new set of downs and another day in the life of a coffee geek. Next time you catch the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast, we're going to be doing our show from Guatemala, which is pretty dope. Come January 11th through the 15th, Christian and I will be with other Stone Creek Coffee Geeks at San Sebastian Farm in Antigua, Guatemala. And we're going to record there talking some farm-to-cup, coffee cultivation, other stuff we haven't even thought about yet. Until Guatemala, somos frikis!
Y estamos hablando de café.